It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
I was nearly middle-aged, well, at least 30, when I first discovered how much I loved digging around in the dirt. Not just digging, of course, I also loved getting down on my knees and weeding, my most meditative activity. When doing either one, I delight in finding things in the ground, like lost tools, or newly germinating or regenerating plants, or huge knots of roots of invasive weeds. I think I would have been happy as an archaeologist. Last week, I managed an archaeological moment from a completely standing position. I was reinstalling an old aerating fountain in the pond just west of the house. That meant affixing ropes to either side of it, tying one of the ropes to a cinder block on one shore, floating the aerator out into the water, and holding the other end of the other rope as I walked around the shore to the opposite side of the pond, where another cinder block would act as a counterbalancing anchor. By leaving only a little slack in the two ropes, I could more or less keep the fountain in a stationary position out in the deepest part of the pond. It doesn't sound like a hard project, but it is a painful one, because the pond is not, let's say, closely tended. All around the shoreline grow small trees, some of which we planted, and numerous invasive bushes which we did not, including several multiflora roses. While it's not terribly difficult to lean out over the water and pass the rope from one side of a birch tree trunk to the other, so that the rope stays out over the water while I walk around the shore, the multiflora roses are another story. They grow great thorny tangles after just a couple of years, and unless you're willing to walk out into the cold water in 50-degree weather, which I'm no longer willing to do, you have to somehow get the rope past the rose canes on the water side while standing behind the bush on the land side. To lean into the bush and reach around it would be like lying face down on a bed of sharp little nails. I'm simply not that kinky. So with one particularly large bush, I decided I would just temporarily tie the end of the rope to a branch and hack back the entire bush, eliminating the obstacle. Like a Roman subway excavator finding a 2,000-year-old villa, or a builder in Mexico City coming upon the remains of a Mayan temple, however, my work uncovered a surprise. As I started hacking upper branches, on one lower branch a perfect bird's nest appeared. Not at that moment filled with eggs or inhabited by young, but ready for both. The birds who constructed it were, to my mind, architecturally gifted. They had raided the garbage in the garage and taken the plastic strips that are stitched onto the top of sheep mineral bags to serve as easy-open rip-off tabs. They used those strips as a durable superstructure, sort of a ribbing, for the nest. The strips were evenly spaced, but with the ends left hanging out, so the nest appeared to be gift-wrapped and presented with decorative ribbons. It seemed to me an elegant design. Needless to say, I didn't hack that branch off. I just took a picture of it. I've gone to some effort to attract birds to the farm, dotting the gardens with small decorative birdhouses and nailing rudimentary bluebird nesting boxes on posts in the pasture, though cattle rubbing on the posts eliminated most of the latter over time. Much as I love being the developer of this little birdhouse Levitt town, I get far more pleasure from observing the initiative, ingenuity, and tenacity of the birds that migrate back and build their own nests year after year in places they choose. Sparrows in the barn rafters, geese on the island in the pond, bobwhites out in the middle of the pastures. A couple of days ago, Eric started moving houseplants out to the side porch for the summer, including a fern that had stood on a landing on the back staircase. With the stairway window now unobstructed, I could see the holly bush just outside, and there, another perfectly constructed nest appeared. This one, I found to my delight, was occupied, and of course I took another picture. We delight in nests for many reasons. We appreciate the bird's architectural and construction skills. We admire the fierceness with which they defend their homes once built. Most deeply, we identify with the goals of the birds. We humans are by instincts builders of homes and nesters ourselves. One of Eric's passions, which so strongly endears him to me, is his nesting instinct, his desire to create an environment to make one feel at home. Like this week when he decided that our very austere front vestibule needed to be made homey with some chairs, hanging begonias, and potted plants, practically begging the stranger to sit and stay a while. Such important values. A home that welcomes, in which you feel secure. The farm embodies those values for me, representing the world I want to inhabit, and the nests replicate those values in miniature. But how strange to celebrate nesting now. I can welcome the birds to the farm. I can make the farm homey and secure for the human visitors I so love to populate it with. But can we ignore the sea of fear we float in, as millions of our neighbors who came from the world over in search of security, many invited by us or forced from their homelands by intolerable conditions we created for them there, are threatened with ejection, often in the cruelest way, without process or justification? What can you say about inviting or enticing nest builders in, only to turn around and bust up their nests? It's truly for the birds.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.